Our scripture today is about Naaman for the third and final time. It's from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, verse 19 to 27. You're welcome to read along as we read along. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, your word, which you're about to read. We pray to you this day that our hearts and minds are open to receive your precious word within our hearts, that we may hear what it is that you want us to. We may be challenged or we may be encouraged. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are. And we pray for your blessing or your grace also on the expounding of the word. May that too be used for your glory and yours alone. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5, 19b to 27. Hear now God's word. But when Naaman had gone from him a short distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, "My master has let that Aramean Naaman off too lightly by not accepting from him what he offered. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him." So Gehazi went after Naaman. When Naaman saw someone running after him, he jumped down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is everything all right?" He replied, "Yes, but my master has sent me to say, 2 members of a company of prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 changes of clothing." Naaman said, "Please accept 2 talents." He urged him and tied up 2 talents of silver and 2 bags with 2 changes of clothing, and gave them 2 of his servants who carried them in front of Gehazi. When he came to the citadel, he took the bags from them and stored them inside. He dismissed the men and they left. He went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" He answered, "Your servant has not gone anywhere at all." But he said to him, "Did I not go with you in spirit when you left his chariot to meet you? When he left his chariot to meet you, is this a time to accept silver and to accept clothing, olive orchards and vineyards, sheep and oxen, and male and female slaves? Therefore, the skin disease of Naaman will cling to you and to your descendants forever." So he left his presence diseased, as white as snow. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So our scripture today is the last bit of 2 Kings chapter 5. For the past, this is the third week that we've been on 2 Kings chapter 5. We started with Naaman and learning who he is, the second in command in all of Aram, a great general who had the ear of the king. And he had leprosy, some sort of skin disease. It bothered him, even shamed him, and he heard of Elisha who could heal it. So he went to Elisha. Elisha healed it, but in a very unspectacular manner, with very little power, you know, very little prestige. He just healed it through washing, of all things, in the River Jordan. Naaman was so taken by this. For Naaman, this was a great display of power, of which he had no idea of. And he was so thankful that in our second week, he went back to Elisha to give him some rewards to pay him. And he had tons of money which to pay him. Elisha refused it, and Naaman asked instead for earth to make an altar over at his house on his land so that he can sacrifice to God. And for Naaman, the God of Israel was now the only God. There was none other, and he knew this and gave his heart to God. It's a pretty spectacular thing. Now, fast forward to our third section here, introduced to you Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. Now, when Gehazi saw Naaman, he saw something that all of Israel saw. All of Israel, when they had great pride and great dedication in themselves, in who they were, Israel. God's chosen people. And for Israel, what that meant then is because they were God's chosen people, everyone else was not. And so a foreigner was just that, foreign, separate, other, and to be treated as such. And so when he saw Naaman go off without needing to pay anything, the words that he spoke here are telling of his heart. My master has let that Aramean Naaman off too lightly. That foreigner, that other, how dare he experience God's great graciousness, God's mercy, without needing to pay for it? The whole point of Elisha that he was trying to show, and that this chapter in 2 Kings chapter 5 shows, is that yes, God had chosen Israel, but God had chosen Israel to show the world that God is the only God, that there are no other gods. The very fact that God wanted to heal a commander of another army of another country shows that God's power reaches outside of the borders that Israelites had set for a God. God's showing, I'm not just your God, I am your God, but so that I might show that I am everyone's God. And that's the point of Elisha. Elisha let Naaman off without paying anything because God was only serving one of his servants. God was only loving one of his children. You don't make your children pay. Your love for your child is not at cost. It's free. And so Elisha was showing that. But Naaman was just reflecting, or not Naaman, Gehazi was just reflecting something that was common to that day. But not just common to that day, it's common wherever you go. This idea that there's a thus, us and a them, there's my group and their group, is something that pervades our very culture. We take care of our own is something that is a very common concept wherever you might go. I along with everyone else, are getting hit by these gas prices. Well, they come down a little. What are they now? $4.60. Is that where we are? 4.7, something like that. Unless you join the Cohen Club. If you join the Cohen Club, you get 20 cents off. Is that what it is now? 20? 10? Is it 10? Because the Cohen Club takes care of their own. And like, we got things like this all over the place. In fact, our culture in the United States, in the Pittsburgh area, and just as an example, the Pittsburgh area, was built around when the immigrants came from other countries. They wanted to have a place where they can take care of their own. And so, of course, you got Polish clubs, you got Italian clubs, you got the Slovak clubs, you got all of these different clubs that are designed to, again, take care of their own. Now, taking care of your own isn't necessarily a bad thing all the time. We have a family, and we have family so that we can take care of one another. We have a church so that we can take care of each other. The problem comes in is that when Gehazi looked at the foreigner, the other, the outsider, the only value that other, that outsider has is in what that other, that outsider could offer. Gehazi looked at the other and the outsider and said, he could give to me money. That's where his value comes in. And he should. He owes it to me after being healed. So he chased them down and he got money off of them. Now, for Naaman's part, he was just happy to give. Generous, grateful for what had happened to him, and wanted to show that gratitude as much as possible. Gehazi took advantage of that. Churches tend to do this too on occasion. the early church in the book of James had a warning. And the warning was, James was writing, he said, you accept when the rich person comes into your house church, you give him the place of honor. But when the poor person comes to your house church, you make him sit at your feet. You treat with special consideration those who are rich because they can give you more. You value them for what they can give. Churches today sometimes do the same thing. Maybe not maliciously or anything, but I tell you what, as pastor of a church, sometimes filling those roles of office is really hard. Finding trustees and finding child care givers and finding Sunday school teachers and helpers, it's hard. Bishop Bickerton shares a story of his daughter where she went to a church. It was a smaller church. I don't know the size of it, but it was a smaller church. And she walked into the church for the first time, and they were so delighted to see a young couple there that after the church, they came up to her, and someone just said, we're so happy to see you. We need someone to lead our youth. Day one. When we see visitors or new people, sometimes we think, what can they offer? I'm so excited because we got new blood. We got people who can do things now. We have people who can give. The most healthy church in all the world, this was taken back in the year 2004, I believe. They were doing surveys as to the health of churches. And they found that the healthiest church, I shared this with you years ago, was found in South Korea. Healthiest church in the entire world, according to their schematics, their whatever. How many people did that church have? 1,000? 2,000? 3,000 or 4,000? They had 70 people, that church. 70 people. Because the health that they were monitoring wasn't based upon money or budget or finances or any of that stuff. It was based upon attitude and love. And they only had 70 people because when they got people, they encouraged their people to leave, to go out into the world, to start new churches, to start new small groups, to go to other churches and serve them the best way possible. They encourage them to go to seminary, to go to school, to learn. Because they realize what Elisha realized. That the only point that any church should desire of its members is to know God. To know God and to draw closer to God. And if that's what happens to someone who comes in and visits us for one Sunday and then goes to Community Methodist Church, we've done our job. We've shared the love of Jesus Christ with them. We show them what it means to be a Christian. Show them how to love. And if they're loving Jesus Christ somewhere else, praise God, because they're loving Jesus Christ somewhere else. The love of Christ is growing and spreading in other areas. Elisha, this story between Elisha and Gehazi challenges us with the question, why is it are we reaching and doing ministry to people in the community around us? Is it so that we can pay our bills better? Or is it so that they can know Christ? That's our purpose. The United Methodist vision, mission statement is to make disciples of Jesus Christ, nothing else. To make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. It's not to fill all the committees. It's not to bolster the pews. It's not to pay the bills. It's to make disciples of Jesus Christ. God has taken care of us for many years, and that's what we lean upon. Because Christ has made it possible for us to love one another, to love those who are around us for as long as we have them. That if they go, they serve Christ. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard watching them go. But we let go. Just like Elijah let Naaman go without paying a dime. Because Elisha knew that God was going with him. And so we let go. Knowing that God is with us and with the other now and always. And we thank God for that. I leave you then with this benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. Go in peace, knowing that the love of God goes with you now and always.